Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, I am so very excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
They're a special effects makeup artist and fabricator who's worked on The Walking Dead, Django Unchained, Hateful Eight, Stranger Things, Mandalorian, and also Disney theme park animatronics. And they're my good friend. It's what? Bree Ford.
Yay. Woo, woo, woo.
I am super duper excited to be here, and it took everything within me not to do the hello with you guys, but I thought maybe it's not my place.
No, it's an open stage. Open mic?
You're more than welcome to join us. Yes.
Bree, I want to know, you work in a makeup shop, correct?
Yes.
Is that the lingo?
Yes.
Is that what you call it?
Is that the lingo, a shop?
It is. We would call it a shop. Some people call it a lab. Most people call it a shop.
They sound, that's a little pretentious, it's, like a little soap.
Exactly. It's a little like, yeah.
Like, what are you coming up with new things in there? Maybe, actually.
It's the whole like, ooh, I want people to picture, you know, beakers and substances being made, you know. Like, no.
The new trend
mostly
is
just
bullet
things
wounds.
In Ziploc bags, right.
Yeah.
What is, like, I was curious, like, what is like the hot, like, what's like the hot horror right now? Because I feel like a lot of people in your industry are really into horror movies. That's a wild assumption, but I feel like I might be onto something.
Yeah.
That's a pretty safe assumption. Mm. Like, for instance, one of my coworkers was trying to get Werewolf Wednesdays started, where everyone wears a werewolf shirt. It's like,
well, we all have that.
Sure. Yeah.
And
so,
we're always looking for an excuse to whip it out.
You know, sort of
this whole thing.
I haven't worn this one in decades, but it still fit.
Yeah. Someone also tried to start a Star Wars shirt Friday at a different shop I worked at. And I
There's no alliteration on that whatsoever.
Feel the Force Fridays.
Like, I don't there have any okay, Star Wars shirts. So I took one, I turned it inside out, and then I wrote Star Wars in Sharpie. And I went, look, here's my Star Wars shirt. Leave me alone now.
Do you ever go a day without seeing a black t-shirt?
No.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. And frankly, I'm usually guilty. I mean, look at, you know.
I mean, but isn't that a Santa Cruz brand?
What? This?
Creature. I think that's it's a skate brand.
Oh, I don't know.
From Santa Cruz, skateboard company.
This is how much I don't know. I just thought it was cool.
They're
looking.
Near and dear.
You just black t-shirts just show up in your wardrobe and you just come on.
With your paycheck?
Exactly. Every once in a while we get a crew shirt that's not black and everyone complains.
This
it's really
like
not
a
an exaggeration. Yeah. Like,
this goes with
hell?
Nothing else I own.
Exactly.
But what is there like a hot horror movie right now that's like the buzz of the shop?
Mm.
That actress in Nope gets her face chewed off.
That's true. No one's really talking about that at work.
Wow.
Well, although they need to get to not the part of the conversation. Interesting.
You know why? Because they're all racist.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I just haven't.
Maybe you don't care to listen to them. That's all right.
Do you think it's more exciting to start like on a new project where you're sort of creating it, or to be like, oh, I've been asked to join the sixth version of this movie or whatever?
I think for me personally, it's usually more exciting to start a new project. Uh-huh. But depending on the franchise, you know, for most people, if it's something that's near and dear to your heart, like, uh-huh. like
Is
I was saying.
You would love to have been a part of?
Oh, you know what? I almost got to work on Hellboy 2, and I was very excited about Ooh. That. I'm a big fan of Hellboy.
Yes.
I did end up finally working on Hellboy on the newest one.
Okay.
Okay.
And,
your voice did something weird when you said that. Okay.
I get to say that I worked on Hellboy.
I will not be taking follow-up questions.
No more questions at this time. No.
Yeah, I'll just say, didn't feel the same.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Is there a push? You always talk about like the real, like real puppets or things like that. Do you feel like the swing is kind of going back? Because I've been watching, I'm really into these new Star Trek shows. And they do extensive actual makeup and like creature work, which is very exciting, I think.
Oh, it's very exciting. I was going to say, I just remembered also, I really wanted to work on The Dark Crystal.
Oh, I love that series.
Yeah, I was busy on something else, and so I couldn't work on it. But when it came out, I was very happy with it, which was also awesome because it was one of those,
That's
like,
nice.
Please don't ruin the thing that I loved as a kid. And they didn't. And everyone who did work on it, you know, at least had fun stories they could tell me.
That's nice. It's always nice when you're like, oh, I'm not jealous of people. Good for me.
Yeah.
I've been saying
I'm just happy for them.
Oh, I'm in a good place. Wow. Okay.
I do think that there's a bit of a renaissance because, you know, people really miss having, I think there's a generation that grew up with practical effects. And now that is the generation that is making movies. Mm. And they're kind of like, I don't want everything to just completely disappear. And I miss the magic of when I was a kid. And so I kind of think, I don't know if it has the same thing to do with the nostalgia that's, you know, so popular right now. I guess nostalgia's always been a thing, but
even more so in dystopian times.
Specifically sort of like, the nostalgia of the 80s time period. I do feel like there's a big sort of a resurgence of,
I remember when you were working on the Thing remake and you were telling me like, we're doing all this like cool, amazing stuff. And like, but then it got replaced by CGI.
Oh no.
That was like heartbreaking.
Oh, that was so devastating. So sad. There's probably online somewhere. I'm not sure, but you might be able to see tests because we shot all of these little like makeup tests at work, you know, of someone inside of a suit or working something mechanical. And I was so excited. And we did all this stuff that looked really cool with puppets and with a bunch of makeup. And then you watch the movie and you're like, what practical effects? I didn't know they made any. But that, you know, I have gotten more used to that feeling. Like,
right.
Working on Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, that was a good one.
I'm sorry. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
That was a good one.
Yeah. But
that had great creatures, I thought.
Well, that's good. Okay. Because from my viewpoint, I was like, oh, you barely saw anything.
Sure.
Compared to everything that we made and how cool it looked and, you know. But, yeah.
You know, speaking of scary stories to tell in the dark, today
maybe don't look as cool as you want them to.
Today we're talking about, it's another Queen choice, and today we're talking Hedwig and the Angry Inch. John, what's the deal with Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
Mark, let me tell you the deal about Hedwig and the Angry Inch. It was written and directed by John Cameron Mitchell and adapted from the critically acclaimed off-Broadway rock hit, also written by Mitchell and Stephen Trask. And a German immigrant living in a trailer in Kansas is the victim of a botched sex change operation. And Hedwig and the Angry Inch tells the story of the internationally ignored rock singer Hedwig and her search for stardom and love. It stars John Cameron Mitchell, Andrea Martin, Michael Pitt, and Miriam Shore. It was released on September 12, 2001. Oof. And despite largely positive reviews, the film only grossed $3.6 million off a budget of $6 million. But Roger Ebert wrote, John Cameron Mitchell electrifies the movie with a performance that isn't a satire of glam rock performers so much as an authentic glam rock performance. He also wrote, strange how the movie seems to be loud, flashy, and superficial, and yet gives a deeper dimension to its characters. Elisa Schwartzbaum of Entertainment Weekly agreed, writing, love, fame, self-acceptance, fabulous wigs. Hedwig achieves everything Moulin Rouge aspires to with far less effort. Oof. And Mitchell received a Golden Globe nomination for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy, and the film was nominated for 5 Independent Spirit Awards. And that is the deal with Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
So, Brie, you actually emailed me. I feel like this is a we partnered up for this
Queen's choice.
Yeah, because you messaged me like a year ago, said, I want to do Hedwig. I was like, that's a great pick. And then it came, Queen's Choice came around, like, well, let's do it now. I've been wanting to talk about this movie forever.
Okay. Yes, basically, when I first started listening, you know, however long ago, 2 years ago, you guys have been doing this for a while now. But yeah. I just thought, like, why hasn't anyone brought in Hedwig yet? Are you kidding me?
Shaking your iPod.
Rage.
So then finally, yeah, I think I emailed you when you guys were doing the, you know, fans write in an essay.
What
movie they should choose. And I was like, Hedwig, it has everything.
But then you also said, like, I don't have to do it. You were like, feel like you were very like putting yourself out. I was like, no, you were doing this. We are doing this together. It's going to be made. Do you remember the first time you saw it?
I definitely remember that I saw it in theaters, but the weird thing is I can't remember specifically, like, I mean, it definitely made an impact and I was like, oh my God, this movie's great. But I don't remember the specifics of like where I was or, you know, anything like that. But, I've probably seen it like maybe 4 or 5 times.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Something like that.
What about you, John? What's your history with Hedwig?
What's my history with Hedwig? Well, okay, so when the stage show was first happening in New York, I had moved to New York City. I was working at this record
store. Theater, that one?
At the Jane Street
Not
Theater,
the Squeeze
correct.
Box
Not
production.
The Squeeze Box.
The
no,
workshop,
no, no.
Okay.
But I was working at a record store, and one day someone came in and said, hey, we're giving away tickets to this John Cameron Mitchell thing at the Jane Street Theater tonight. Do you want to go? Knew nothing about it, but I knew John Cameron Mitchell because I had seen him in The Secret Garden on Broadway and Six Degrees of Separation, so I was a big fan. And it was incredible to just go to a show, not literally know nothing of what it is about, what to expect, anything. And I got Hedwig, which was perfect. It was like, this is why I live in New York. This is the point.
Right?
This is why I'm here.
That's amazing.
And I went back several times. It was a record store that catered to like show queens. So they would come a lot. So I also
Wait a minute. You worked at a record store that catered to show queens?
I don't know how I got that job. It was insane.
This is why you're always biting my head off about like cats recording.
1,000% that is why I do that.
Did someone bark your head off about this?
I was literally slapped for making that mistake.
I knew.
It doesn't matter. He doesn't.
Okay.
But I saw it a couple more times when Michael Cerveris took over for John Cameron Mitchell. So I've seen the stage version a bunch of times. I think it's incredible, wonderful. The movie, I will say, the first time I saw it, I was like, but it's not Hedwig.
Then
I watched it again several months, maybe a couple years later. And I was like, no, it's not, but it's its own brilliant, fabulous thing.
Yeah.
So I've seen the movie probably like 3 or 4 times, I would say. But I love it. I think it's absolutely incredible. And it's like there's a way that I have like a romantic attachment to it because it reminds me of like being young in New York and just being like, you can do this? All right. Everything's back on the table. If this is possible, we can all do whatever. No excuses. How about you, Mark? What are you bringing with to Hedwig?
That's funny. I think we almost have some ways similar experience because this came out like the summer. It came out in the fall. I came out of the closet that summer when I had first enrolled in art school. You know what I mean? So is there a movie more perfect for me in that time
Absolutely.
Of my life of like, oh my God. And so we had a color theory class we had to do where you had to do this giant, like you had to get a big piece of poster board and you had to do a grid. And on the top of the grid was every character. Then on the other side was like every scene. And you had to do on each square like gouache, like watercolors of like the colors. It's like this character looked like this. So yeah, I had to watch the movie, like freeze frame it. It took me, it's the only all-nighter I ever pulled in college.
was for watercoloring.
Was
Perfect,
for
Mark
gouache, because gouache, I never worked with gouache before, but gouache is like, if you want to duplicate the color, it's almost impossible. Like if you want to read, you know. So I ended up like just... I almost, the next time I heard the music, like after staying up all night, I felt nauseous.
I can see that. I get
back,
that.
So,
fair. That's fair.
So I was like, I had to spend some time away.
It's okay.
from Hedwig after a while, but now I never stop listening to the music, essentially, though. I never, like, it's always been in my rotation. It's always, yeah, it's probably my favorite. Like, I do think this is like a musical for like people who don't like music. Like, this, yes, is a great, yes, like gateway. You know what I mean? Sure. I'm not a big musical fan, but I love Hedwig. And then, like, I feel it's almost like a great entryway into like,
right,
the world.
Like, okay. So from here, we can build off this way. Yeah.
That's kind of the experience I had, because I, don't kill me, John, I'm not a huge fan of musicals.
Fair. Okay.
But so the ones that do really stand out to me are, it's like, oh my God, I could listen to this, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
And Hedwig was one of those where, you know, I bought the score.
Cast recording.
Yes. I was like, don't fuck this up. I knew not to say soundtrack. I learned.
You could buy a soundtrack to Hedwig.
It is, if it's the movie.
Yes, then it's the soundtrack.
Songs, it's the soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
I bought the soundtrack. I bought the soundtrack too.
Okay.
Which, sure, is not sequenced like the movie, which I think is very strange when they do that.
Yeah, that's bizarre. But, and I did see a live performance once in 2016 when Darren Criss.
I saw that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at the Pantages.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. But I mean, my first introduction to it was the film, because, you know.
My husband and I had tickets to that performance, but the night we had our tickets for was the night that Trump became president. And we drove to the Pantages, and we were like looking at our phones like, it looks like he's going to win. And we were like, I can't watch this show right now. So we just went home and cried.
Yeah, no. Oh, I'm so
sorry. Forget wig in a box. I need wine in a box.
Thank you. A 4-year supply. Thank you.
Not going to be enough. That's a good start. But the more I've watched it, I would say I find like more mean, like there's not like a plot really or anything, but I find like there's such like depth to it. And like, I don't know, I get a lot of like the ending I find very moving and powerful. And it just like, I don't know. It's probably my favorite movie musical, I would say. It's either this or Little Shop of Horrors. These are the two titans.
They're both great ones.
Yeah. Well, Brie, as you may or may not know, but I suspect you do, we are looking for the gayest movies ever, and we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories, and at one point, you are going to come up with a category, and it will be added to the wheel.
Or you can choose a pre-existing category. We're still working on the melody of that one, but we're getting there.
That was perfect. I think it was perfect.
Thank you.
Flawless. Thank you. 10 out of 10.
Thank you. And you worked on Django Unchained.
So you know from 10 out of 10.
Well, this is our current top 5 gayest movies ever. In 5th place with an 89.70%, The Apple. In 4th place with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In 3rd place with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. In 2nd place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And still number 1 with a 94.83% is Female Trouble.
Okay, Brie, so if you had to guess now, how well do you think Hedwig is going to do?
I think Hedwig is going to do fantastic. I'm not saying it's going to be in the top 5, but
okay.
I am
willing to go on a limb.
Would you
be surprised if it was in the top 5?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't either. I think it has a shot.
I think it'll be in the top 10.
I think it might be in the top. I think it definitely has a shot, and I think it'll be in the top 10.
But the wheel.
Oh, yes, that's true.
That fickle wheel, but I guess we'll see. The only way out is through.
That is true words, Mark, have never been said.
All right, John, I have to say, I was so worried you were going to hate the movie.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But I found this is so rare, a Queen's Choice that unites us.
That's true.
I feel like the Queen's Choice episodes are combative.
They tend to be a little bit, I think.
Well, you bring in Funny Lady. You're gonna get my dander up.
It's what I ordered. Thank you very much.
You ordered dander and you got leftovers.
And boy, did I.
All right. So our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give the score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all 3 of our scores. So Brie, what would you give Hedwig and the Angry Inch on a scale of 0 to 100 in the category actual gay characters?
Okay, so
you also do not have to go first. We can just talk it out.
That's true.
Well, the one question that I'm going to put here, the caveat of if Hedwig is basically genderqueer, Can that fit
I
under
think
the
fits,
I mean
yes.
Would
yeah,
I
yeah.
be
yeah,
able
we'll,
to okay
yeah, yeah, we allow
sort
that,
of like
yes.
queer characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to label it, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. If gay can also just mean so I would say, I mean, clearly there's Hedvig.
Well, when he's Hansel, he's gay too.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
And
then the sergeant is also
yeah, Luther.
Yeah.
Now we don't know about any of the band members, but I feel like
at least Stephen
Trask.
There's
a pretty strong possibility.
I mean, you know what I mean? And also, Itzhak wants to be a drag queen.
Yeah. So I feel like it's very likely that most of the band is probably
and then
not straight.
All the fans, all the people
at least
the shows,
they're cool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's quite a few gay characters in this, especially the main, the titular character.
Yeah.
That's true. Who would we say isn't? You don't really know about Andrea Martin.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I was going to say she probably isn't, but I mean, right. I don't know.
We don't know.
But there's
why
also
make assumptions?
Michael.
Yeah. Michael Pitt. Plays Tommy knows this.
He sort of freaks out when he realizes Hedwig.
He does, but then he ends up in a relationship with Hedwig.
Yeah. It's not a deal breaker. So,
that's true.
Yeah.
He's not. Yeah. He may be straight, but he's not narrow.
So I'd say he finds himself, he thinks he's straight, and then he realizes he's queer in some capacity,
right.
Clearly.
I think part of that scares him, and that's
yes.
more.
Yes, for sure. But, so I don't know. I think it would do pretty well. Maybe at 68? Is that...
Okay, that's a number.
That's
is
a
that
number.
Crazy?
I will say no, it's not crazy. I'll say 68, but just know that from here now until the end of the podcast, you can change any number at any time. I will say this. I was gonna go 93 because I feel like there's not a lot of characters you can be like, that person's straight.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I feel like there's like a queerness throughout. This is very much like a non-straight movie, like a non-straight point of view,
yes.
a non-straight, all of that. So like, are we like counting all the characters? Who knows? But I also feel like, yeah, like as we were saying, like the band, maybe not all of them, but I'm sure.
I feel like they don't have a lot of these boundaries that are labels that we
yeah,
worry about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like
yeah.
a pretty free flow.
Yeah, if a guy
maybe
touched one of their dicks,
modest.
They're probably like, oh, that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, what I say, 93, I'll go 93. To me, it just feels like it's such a.
Okay,
yeah,
I want to
like
change my answer then.
Okay, to
42.
I think I was
point.
Being too. Yeah, 16. No.
thank you.
yeah, then I will change it to 87.
87. Great year for movies. Yeah, I'll go. Fuck it. I'll go 95. I think it's
wrong. Oh, he doesn't give a shit.
I don't give a
ooh,
shit.
Look at you dishing out points.
Okay. I mean, I could, I won't, but I could just do 100, but I won't. That would
you could.
Feel right. I would feel dirty afterwards.
Sometimes it's nice to feel dirty afterwards.
Okay, save it for our After Dark pod.
This well, is it, what you get on the Patreon if you're not a yeah. member.
Well, I got a Hedwig got a 91.67, which is second highest, second only to The Queen, which got 100, which is a documentary about drag queens in the 60s. So that makes total sense.
Hard to beat that.
Hard to beat that.
On
all
that
right,
one,
yeah. Our next category, gay icons. How are we doing on gay icons?
So here's a category where I might have to defer a little bit to you
please.
Guys because
oh, sure.
I feel like John Cameron Mitchell is a gay icon.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Even
know,
though
I mean,
he was Joe Exotic, we'll let that slide. I think he's
has
earned enough
yet?
Goodwill. Yeah, it came out and nobody cared on people.
Oh, really? I
yeah.
was like, oh, I didn't even see it happen.
Even he couldn't get me to watch that movie.
No.
Or Kate McKinnon.
It was like
that's
the
crazy.
Tiger King thing was like it was like a one night stand we had at the beginning of the pandemic, and then it's like coming back a year later. Like, no, I don't. This is shameful. That was
I
speaking
actually,
of feeling a little
I actually
dirty.
Had to go to the doctor. Yeah,
yeah.
You're not coming
yeah,
back.
I think collectively as a nation, we all felt a little bit ashamed.
Yeah, like no, no
like
one cares about
we
the
were
tigers.
Just in the lockdown, and it was just like, oh, something to binge. I can watch
yeah.
this for 8 hours today and not feel other things. Perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
I would say Andrea Martin
absolutely
has some points. And I would say Hedwig itself,
yes.
like as a title.
And a character.
Yeah, that's true.
I would
as
think.
A character.
Because you could do,
yeah.
I was thinking, oh, you could do Hedwig at Snatch Game.
You absolutely
oh,
could.
Sure.
It's all quips, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I want to give a shout out to the producer of the film is a lesbian woman, Christine Vachon.
Oh,
shout
she
out
produced-
to Vachon.
Shout out to Vachon. She produced Far From Heaven, Boys Don't Cry, 1 Hour Photo, Happiness, one of my favorite, Velvet
oh.
Gold Mines. Gold Mines, Safe, Go Fish, Swoon, and Cairo yeah. Time. I don't know. Her Wikipedia editor was really efficient
cool.
for that one.
Right?
I think you could have quit at Happiness.
There were a lot of winners in there, though.
A lot of winners.
I get what you're saying. Like, there's a way in, like, John Cameron Mitchell's in, like, mainstream movie, but, like, he also did create this, like, iconic title.
Yeah, it's going to outlive. And it's apparently huge in, like, Korea, which is also fascinating because that was also, like, a divided country, like Berlin. So I think, the themes resonate. It's interesting.
Interesting.
I have the Criterion Blu-ray. I went through some of the special features last night after the film. It was a great time. what do you want to give for gay icons? It's not a Mamma Mia.
No. But maybe 66?
Sure.
I'm gonna go.
And did we mention Andrea Martin?
We did say Andrea Martin.
Okay, well, let it be said again.
The iconic Toronto
Give the woman her day.
Thank you.
We cannot bring it up enough. I'll go 88.
88. I love that Andrea Martin is always like, sure, I'll play Greek. Or then, sure, I'll play Italian.
I don't give a shit. Yeah.
Then I looked it up. She's Armenian.
See, isn't that perfect?
There you go. She's got range.
She's a Mediterranean chameleon.
I'll give it a 75. Given an average of 76.33, which is 12 points higher than Back to the Beach. All right. Our next category, the queer gaze. How horny is the camera for queer forms? Sure. I don't know. Well, it is literally directed by a gay man. So it literally does have a queer gaze, the entire thing.
That is true. Do we know anything about the DP?
We do. He was on the special features. One of the special features. They had a reunion it was filmed in 2019 in the Jane Hotel, which apparently is now some fancy.
It's fancy snooty. Now.
It's fancy now.
It was not fancy then.
They made that point. Yeah. It was like a real shithole, it sounds like. But there's a lot of the band's hot.
Yeah. I mean, there's that scene of Hansel sunning himself.
Yes.
In his youth.
On the rubble. Then,
towards the end when they're both shirtless and wet.
Yes.
On a personal level. I was into it. Very
sure.
much.
Sure.
Nice. Sure.
This movie did some things for me when I first saw
awesome.
It.
That's awesome. Were you more into art? That's beautiful.
Were you a Michael Pitt fan?
I wasn't. And then when I saw this movie, I mean, I didn't know him. Yeah, I didn't know him. And then, after seeing this, I was like, ooh, what is this sort of young Billy Corgan kind of,
it's very Billy Corgan.
It triggered some like early 90s,
Yes.
Can you hear my cat?
It's fine. It's great. People love hearing cats. Don't even worry about it.
And also
they
there's
hate
that shot.
Michael Pitt, though. Your cat. Michael, shit.
There's that shot at the end of, John Cameron Mitchell's little butt again.
Great little butt.
Come on.
A-plus little butt.
A-plus little butt.
That must be something I'm sure he was like, look, I'm real young and skinny and cute right now.
Now's
the
time.
On camera. Let's get this all on film.
Honestly, I'm here for it. Yeah. Record it while it's there.
Before you need IMAX to get my big old butt on film. Thank you.
I feel like there's a pretty good amount of, eye candy happening in this movie.
Yeah. The band's always like half dressed and stuff.
Yeah. So I feel like it's pretty high. I'd give it, 82? I don't know.
Sure. 82 works.
I'll give it, I'll go 83.
83. I think we're scoring it too high, but who am I to judge? I'll give it an 81. Give it an average of 82.
You give it if you thought we were scoring too high?
I think it's like a 70. I'm going to give it a 70.
I didn't ask you that to do that to pressure.
No, but you got me. I had to think, this is what happens.
You have to listen to your heart.
I have to listen to my heart. My gut tells me no.
Always about integrity. Yeah. Okay.
Always about integrity. But hey, it's still got 78.33, making it the highest of the last of our six movies. That's 10 points higher than Back to the Beach. And that had surfers. All right. Our next category, entrances with pizzazz. It's not, funnily, I was watching it's such like an intimate small film that there's not a lot of like scenes where like, and then this is the scene where this happens. And you know what I mean? It's more like, we're just seeing these little vignettes almost of like the scenes have started essentially.
Yeah. Right. There was only one thing that I specifically noticed that really kind of stood out as like, when there's the shot where they basically go to Kansas and then Hedwig literally kind of like falls into the chair as if she was like falling into frame
and
then looks
that's
all
fun.
Confused, And that was a really great little like, bloop,
That is fun.
The opening shot, revealing that cape. Get out of here.
Yeah. That's great. And doesn't she have an umbrella that she like tosses aside?
Into Bilgewater.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's funny because it is a musical and those tend to have like a here's this person. But one thing I just so much love about this movie are just the shots of her performing in these middle of the nowhere, like fry fish restaurants.
Oh,
so perfect. And also like, I will say this, like watching it, you could tell that everyone, all the extras who are like at that restaurant were sort of directed to be like, you didn't expect this show was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like you were just having dinner and then suddenly this really loud band showed up. And I have been in shows at places like restaurants in New York where like someone comes on and says like, hey everyone, there's a show happening. And you're like feet away from a table of two people who are just like, I didn't want to watch a show. I just want to
have- Yeah, I just want quiet.
Like, why am I doing? No, please stop. You can just tell that they're just like, don't want to. I just like felt that so hard.
That happened when I went to a video bar in Palm Springs when all of a sudden they stopped playing the videos. Everyone's having a great time talking along with Golden Girls. And then we're going to stop the video. Please welcome the touring company of Shrek the Musical, who are going to perform three songs. This is not what we wanted.
Read the room.
Read the room. We want to see the locker room scene from Best Little Whorehouse, not this bullshit. They weren't even in makeup. Just like some dude.
I worked on Shrek the Musical, so that's also
really
a little triggering for me because I spent years.
I think a lot of people are triggered by Shrek the Musical.
Fair enough. But when I see that like Shrek green color.
Is that a copyrighted green?
It's not.
Okay. So I can get in on that.
So you can do it and that's fine.
I can do it.
Well, because the musical was in different countries and then they had slightly different makeups depending on the country, which was actually very strange. Yeah, like the cowls were a little different because different companies were making them.
Oh,
gotcha. Okay.
At certain points. So I worked for three different people working on Shrek because people would inevitably get sick of it and then pass it off to someone else. And then I would still get called to work on it.
And you make those weird ears. Does that happen a lot in makeup where like you can get known for a certain kind of like show or look and suddenly you can get that job all the time? Because back in my 20s, when I was doing musical theater, I got offered Chorus Line constantly because I had done it already. And so there was this like, you already know it. Come do it. But there are people who make careers doing stuff like that of like just focusing on a show.
Yeah, I don't know if it works that way as much with shows, but it's similar in that like there'll be a certain type of skill set that you have that's like, oh, this person's really good at armor, so call them for, you know, that kind of thing.
They got their walls up.
This one's a real mace queen. Call her. Yeah.
Do they call that in the makeup industry? I've been really type plaster cast.
This is good, Mark.
Maybe throw that around the lab. Let's see how it goes.
Okay. I'll give it a whirl. I'll get back to you. I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know how it goes.
Chop it around.
Roll your eyes as you can't, like, boy.
I lost a bet, so I have to make this joke.
I did think there were a lot of transitions with Pizzazz and lots of, like, fun. The movie's just, so, like, endlessly inventive.
Yeah.
There's nothing typical about this. It's like, so like, it's still exciting. It still feels like fresh. You know, it still feels like, they don't make these, like this kind of movie, a modestly budget, like rock musical, queer rock musical.
Absolutely.
Would never get made now.
Yeah. Like the transition of being in the trailer and then the front of it opens up and then it's a stage.
Amazing.
You know, but
it's so cool.
Yeah. So
and the band in Wig in a Box has a really fun entrance when they're entering through the door. They come all walk right in really fun.
That's true.
Walk in really fun.
Pizzazzy.
Pizzazzy. And also I'd say Itzhak's reveal in drag is a fun entrance.
Oh, that's sort of true. An entrance. I guess it would be an entrance. Yeah, it's sort of a...
We can play fast and loose with entrances these days. I think, but,
we have in the past.
I feel like reveals, exits also count. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Just like what's like a transitional punch, as it were.
A pivot.
Got it.
A pivot point. A
pivot. Well, what do you want to give this for entrances with Pizzazz? Is it Beetlejuice? No.
No, but you know, it's maybe 58.
I think that's reasonable.
That seems fair.
I'm going to go 78.
78. John loses his mind.
Such a fun style.
I'll go 75. Given an average of 70.33, which is 4 points lower than Back to the Beach, but 0.33 points higher than All About Eve. Hmm. All right. Our next category. This one might be interesting. The Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence?
I believe that this is basically a 100. Because let's be real. I mean,
there's very little about this that Mike Pence could want to stay for.
And yet the themes are universal. You know, if he just got over his like bigotry, get over it, Mike Pence. There's so much fun art out there you can enjoy.
Right? He would just be sweating in his palms for, you know, from the moment one
moment to the next.
He's like, oh, I'd rather watch Cairo Time.
So I feel like this is a 100 for me without even.
I did look it up on Christian Spotlight on the movie. They did rate it. They actually did review
it.
Extremely offensive.
Of course.
And I thought this was pretty funny. They at one point, this is one snippet. These actors, they're talking about drag queens. They said these actors claim to honor stars such as Judy Garland, Joan Crawford, and Betty Davis. Betty spelled with a Y. But in the end, they merely denigrate them, reducing their lives to Secondhand tablets, whiskey bottles, and coat hangers. And they beg their audience to laugh at the wreckage. That's
wow. Someone went to like an amateur drag night and was roasted, and they're taking it out on this
movie. Know.
Because this has nothing to do with any of those people.
They just don't like drag queens making fun of their beloved Hollywood stars, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll also give it 100.
Yeah, I think this is the most 100 we've ever
had. In this category, certainly.
In this category, this is the most anxiety. Hey, it got 100, which is the highest we've had in the last on version 7.0.
All righty.
All right, our next one, Hell on Heels. How we doing on Feisty Ladies?
Well, I think Andrea Martin's character, the manager, she's pretty feisty. Sure. She doesn't take shit.
She beats up a waiter.
She does beat up a waiter.
It was the one fight thing.
She tries to, you know, barge her way into that signing when Tommy's there, and she's pretty headstrong. She also quits when Hedwig is
rips up the passport.
Yeah. You've gone too far.
Yeah. Then she's like, I'm done. I'm out of here. Also, technically, Hedwig was in heels.
Absolutely.
When she yelled at the guy for putting the bra in the dryer.
Yeah.
Because I was listening. You don't see her feet. But you can hear it.
And in the Foley,
I was like, definitely in heels. And she literally just made a guy cry. So
also Hedwig's mom.
I was thinking about that too. I mean, she kicks out his dad. Which actually for the time period too was pretty headstrong.
Sure. And Quang Yi on guitar.
I was thinking about her. I was trying to remember her name. She's an amazing little character.
She's the lead in his follow-up movie, Short Bus, or one of the leads. I don't know if you ever, which is finally getting a DVD Blu-ray release.
Finally.
People, it's been like out of circulation. I got it off Netflix back when you could get it. And I was like, this is like showing a lot of stuff.
I remember auditions for it. Like,
you auditioned for it?
I did not. But I remember hearing auditions for it. I was like, oh yeah, you basically have to have sex.
Yeah. It's a fun movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to go see it. I was very excited when I heard about it.
And then did you see Rabbit Hole, the movie made after that about Nicole Kidman and...
That was based on a play, I think.
Yeah, mourning the death of their like 4-year-old son. That's his least fun.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah, if you can
find the laughs.
Yeah, not a lot of musical numbers in there. Heartbreak didn't feel good in a place like that, Nicole. I remember it's one of those movies like, I'm glad I saw it, but I also never want to see it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like The Room. Room.
Room, yeah.
Room?
Yeah.
I
never want to see again.
Well, what do you think for Hell on Heels? I think it's pretty high. I think Hedwig pretty much threw the entire thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd give it an 85.
85.
I'm going 91.
91. Yeah, I'll go. I think I got to go 98.
That's
given an average of 91.33, which is 10 points higher than The Invitation. All right. Finally, the last of the canon categories. Brie, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Hedwig and the Angry Inch to a gay person?
I am 100% likely to recommend Hedwig to a gay person. Yes, for sure. If I was talking with someone and they said, I've never seen it, I would definitely be that person that says, oh my God, you have to see it. It's great.
Get out of here. Quit sucking that dick and go see Hedwig.
Or get your face on that box.
95 minutes later.
Yeah, that dick ain't going anywhere. Not the day of monkey.
On.
Well, not with monkeypox going around either. Choose your partners carefully, fellas.
Put your DVDs.
It should be Blu-ray.
Yeah, it was funny because I was, part of me was going to, I was, first I was like 100, and then I thought like, well, there's some musical theater queens I know who wouldn't like it. But then I'm like, but they should see it anyway, just because if you're that kind of
They do talk
person.
About that in the Blu-ray, how like some like traditional like Broadway people were like, no, we don't like, this is like, this is, you can't do this.
Oh,
yeah.
Did I mean, you experience in the time when it was out people poo-pooing it?
I think there was a way in which like, a lot of the music is not like typical theater music.
That's probably why I like it.
And that's like, probably
it
part
sounds
of why
like,
you like
oh,
it.
This sounds, sounds like music different. I already listened to.
So it sort of, and I think it actually does a brilliant job of sort of feeling both like not a pop score, but like a non-theater score and a theater score.
Yes.
Like the thing about theater music is that it sort of has to service a different thing of like, you have to kind of tell a story and do stuff like that in a way that pop songs and just like, no, I'm just singing about how sad I am or how happy I am or how in love I am or whatever that is. Whereas like theater music has to sort of obey, has to sort of also serve that part. But I think you can do both. Like theater music doesn't have to sound like Rodgers and Hammerstein and stuff like yeah. that. But I think for a lot of people, it was like, this doesn't sound like what I'm used to. Or like even this, like the, like in theater, you want the lyrics to be very clear and upfront. Like that's more important to people so people can understand. And this was more like a rock concert. And so there are some people who were frustrated, like, I can't hear all the words. It's like, yes, it's the words and they're great, but it's also a mood and a vibe. Mm. So it sort of like asks you to listen in a weird sort of like in between space, as it were. But I don't know. I love
that's
that.
Interesting.
I think it was great.
I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's fascinating. But I mean, I think that is part of the reason that I liked it so much is because I was like,
exactly,
this is fucking
yeah.
punk rock. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's why some people were like,
it was the
this
first time I got a musical that felt punk.
Yeah, right. And it didn't feel like it was like punk in quotes.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Like it felt like the kind of music it was trying to be, it was succeeding at that kind of music, not like,
like it's
oh, this is
to
like
the spirit of punk.
Right, right. It wasn't like, this is my parents making fun of punk music. It was like,
that's
oh, no,
how I always felt about Rent. Like, oh, this feels like an old fart making, yeah. trying to make rock music and failing miserably. Although I hear it's a success.
I wish I had invested when I had the chance.
But I never pay rent, did it then, and I'm not going to start now.
Then you would love this show. I don't know why you don't like it. None of them want to pay rent either.
Well, Bree's giving 100. So, John, what do you, after much
consideration? Oh, yes, I'll give it 100 as well. Yeah, I think it's absolutely a great title. It's worth seeing. Even if you don't like it, you should see it. But it's like, it's not even like,
it's like 94
it's so smart.
Minutes.
But also, like, it's smart. So even if you don't like, I can't think of anyone fully dismissing it. You know what I mean?
And it's
like,
also got jokes. Like, it's yeah. constant quips.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
But I mean, it's visually amazing, you know?
Yeah, it's right. a real movie.
And it's also that rare thing where, like, you know, it was this as a show was something John Cameron Mitchell created with Stephen Trask, obviously the guy who wrote, you know, the music. But then he is pretty much like the creative for, like he's the writer, the director and the star of the movie. So this is there's it feels like this is a very unencumbered extension of his vision.
Yeah.
Like it's not like someone else came in and ruined it or didn't understand it. It's like, no, he got a chance to take this thing he created and reconceive it for a different medium. And it doesn't feel like he made a lot of compromises.
No. All right, Brie, now into the wheel category. Spinning wheel.
Spinning through. So these are categories previous guests have brought in. We've put them all on this wheel, which is an app on Ooh. My phone. So we're going to spin it twice. Whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. Then we have a second wheel of categories that listeners have pitched. So we'll spin that once. And then after that, now typically our guests will come up with a category, but this is Queen's choice. So technically Mark can come up with a category or choose already a pre-existing category. But I bet if you have an idea, he will listen to your idea and consider it. Sound
I'll
good?
Consider it.
Make sense?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, we'll see. All right, so here we go. I will spin that wheel.
Here we go. It's spinning.
Oh, I finally get to see the wheel.
Isn't it thrilling?
It's so exciting.
How would you describe that?
Listeners, I can't possibly describe this.
The male V.
The
Ooh,
male
sorry,
V.
Sorry, I talked over it.
No, it's quite all right.
Well, we got two male Vs at the very end when they're singing to each. They're slick and sweaty.
That's true.
That's true.
And then a lot of the band members are shirtless in the laundromat.
Oh, yeah. I
There's a lot
that.
Of just like
Are you seeing
live?
Kind of some...
They're all
a type,
yeah, slender.
I mean, it's not a ton, but compared to other movies, you know, it's in there. True.
There's more V than less V.
So maybe
I mean, there's more than Terms of Endearment, which is where this comes from.
That's true.
That's true.
It
if
was
we're
barely
comparing it against Terms of Endearment.
In terms of endearment is the bar. This easily clears it.
But, you know, so maybe I'll give it like a 70.
Yeah, I'll go 68.
68. Just following the pattern, I'll be 69. Give it an average of 69.
Gross.
I don't want to hear it.
Gross, Mark.
There's nothing gross about math.
Boo.
All right, that's it for the wheel. So let's spin that wheel one more time, John.
Does a high school jock get penetrated?
Does a high school jock get penetrated? And actually, kind of yes.
No, when he gets a hand job.
But like his consciousness, his like thought, his his
that's
mind
true.
Is blown. He is penetrated.
Getting deep.
Edward
with that
Scissorhands.
Metaphor.
Thank you, Lorraine. Gnosis. In yeah.
some ways, the symbol, yeah. the cross symbol, is a penetration.
Yeah, his life is never the same.
That's
it's
true.
Funny. Like this is maybe not the time to talk about it, but why not? When I first like heard like what in 2001, over 20 years, when I like listened to Hedwig, I really identified with the origin of love. Part of it, mm-hmm. like, yeah, sure. we're all looking for our other half, that struggle and stuff. But now that I'm, you know, been through some things, lived a life.
You're both sides now. Yeah.
I'm both sides now. I get like, oh, it is like, you can't look for someone else to finish you, to complete you. You need to find that within yourself. You know what I mean?
Gotta take the wig off.
It's Wicked Little Town, the Tommy Gnosis version, you know?
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
There is no mystical great being up in the sky. It's just you. You're the stranger, you know? So I found it very moving, the whole thing. It's like, in some ways, like Tommy Gnosis isn't even a real person. Like, this is like almost a fable more than anything.
Well, it's interesting you say that because he didn't appear in the stage version.
Right.
Oh. So
it makes sense. Like, you saw the band and
you heard, next door.
And Yahtzig. Is that the character? Yeah.
Yahtzig.
But Andrew Martin's character was invented for the film. And Tommy Gnosis, we just didn't see in the play, but yeah.
But it's so interesting, like how it works in terms of like that personal journey, in terms of finding like accepting yourself for who you are and like shedding mask. But then also like the whole gender, I'd like you don't need to worry about the binary, you know?
Right.
It's like beyond the binary, which is great.
And the idea that, you know, you are enough and you are a whole person.
Exactly.
So let's see.
So does a high school jock
getting penetrated? I mean, if we're looking at Tommy as kind of having been sort of a high school jock type character, even if, you know, we didn't see him be specifically a jock.
Here's the thing. Do we think Itzhak was a high school jock? Because he gets seemingly penetrated when they're sharing a bed with Hedwig.
He does. But I don't know that I see
that
him as
jacket,
having been
though?
A high school jock.
Yeah.
You think?
The jacket was a little like, oh, this is a little like bro-ish.
Did they have jocks in Croatia?
They must, of course, they have sports everywhere. Sports are universal, John.
Oh. Well, and who's to say that their jock culture looks like our jock culture? So maybe
that's true. It's a different culture completely.
Maybe it does look like
universal.
A Croatian jock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fair point.
I don't know if this. I first learned the word Hessian.
Oh, I grew up with that term.
Yeah, I learned that from Bree. I didn't. That's an.
Oh,
East
you learned
Coast.
That from me?
Yeah, I don't. Never. I don't. I think that's. Have you heard this, John?
Hessian. I've heard it, but I don't know what it is.
A Hessian is like the type of guy that definitely drives like a Trans Am and probably wears a hoodie with like a denim vest over the hoodie, you know, like stuck in the 80s, but specifically
the
80s
type.
In the, like metalhead kind of.
Sure. No, I get that. We definitely had that in Jersey.
We just call them stoners in California. Maybe that's the California difference.
I get, I mean, they were
like
usually stoners, but it was a little bit more specific to like, The dudes from Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
Oh, they're like stuck in the 80s. Like they're still, they're maybe in their 50s now, 40s.
Even younger people, but like in the 90s, someone who looked like they came out of the, Heavy Metal Parking Lot cast.
Sure.
Gotcha.
Where are they now?
But during the height of grunge, you know, and it was sort of like, oh.
John, have you seen Heavy Metal Parking Lot?
I don't think I have.
That means a no. You haven't. It's a documentary that just is a camera crew goes to like, it's a concert for like Judas Priest, I think.
Right,
but you never see the concert.
Perfect.
You just see people tailgate. It's only like 30 minutes, I think.
It's only 30 minutes?
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty short.
It's pretty amazing. It's fun.
I definitely have heard
of it.
They've done like follow-ups, I think. Like they've done like for different genres of music.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
there was another one they did, but it wasn't as good.
Yeah, nothing beats the original.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of hacky-sacking in the original? I feel like you see a lot of people hacky-sacking at one point.
That feels correct.
But you don't think of Hacky Sack as being into heavy metal. That's more like hippy dippy.
Yeah, I don't feel like they were doing Hacky Sack.
Like maybe Dave Matthews Band's people. Would
that
be
would be
Hacky
more
Sack.
Dave Matthews, yeah.
Yeah. Oof. I don't want to see Dave Matthews' parking lot.
No.
No, it's covered
so much khaki.
Shit, yeah.
So much khaki.
Their van always
brow.
Dumping
we're
feces
done.
On people.
Yeah.
Well, Bree, does a high school jock get penetrated?
Yes, I would say so, for sure. So, let's psychically. See. I'll give it psychically. I don't know.
There's no right or wrong answer.
I'm trying not to sit here creating dead air. So it's like 68. I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
I'm giving it 81.
81. I'll give it a 70. Give an average of 73. All right, now we are into the listener submitted category.
The listener submitted category. So here we go. Here is this other wheel, not as big as the others, but here we go.
I'll try not to talk over it.
Frenemies.
All right, what do they say for frenemies? Let me look. Hold with me. Say with me. Ah, here we go. How messy are the social dynamics? Is there fake smiling, shade throwing, backstabbing? Are they friends, enemies, lovers, energy? And I feel like this is full. And they also wanted no credit, so they're not getting any.
Wow, okay.
I feel like there definitely is some of that energy. Like between, so totally. I mean, Hedvig's relationship with Yitzhak, that's super not healthy.
That is not healthy, you guys. I don't know what's going on, but it isn't healthy.
Your friend shouldn't rip up your passport because you
that'd be
booked
rude.
The cruise ship version of Rent.
True.
Yeah, a true friend would be happy for you.
Yeah.
Who else?
I think it's just like the entire band. It's like there's a lot of skewed, like they're all piled together. They do seem like...
Yeah, like how they said, sharing a hotel room, you know, you got to figure that there's a lot of cattiness probably happening because they have no money and they have to share a hotel room.
And then even when like Hedwig and Tommy like reunite, there's weird like energy between, there's some shade going on there.
Oh, that's true. Like when they're drinking in the car.
Yeah. Right.
It's pretty high. I'd give it an 89.
I'll give it an 83.
I'll get 85. You're an average of 85.67. Thank you for that category, friend. If you want to submit a category, yes. You can find a link to the submission form in our show notes. It's a handy-dandy Google form. It could be easier.
Please submit. All right, Mark, now it is your turn to come up with a category or choose a pre-existing category. What would you like to do? Do you maybe want to hear opinions of some of our guests?
Do you have a pitch, Bree? Because I do have an idea.
I do.
Let's hear it.
Well, when I was originally thinking of this, the first thing that came to my mind was like androgynous hotness or something like that. But then I started thinking maybe something like giving the finger to gender norms.
Oh,
okay.
You know,
we do have bucking heteronormativity.
That's true.
Oh, okay. That's right. I thought maybe there was a category that's a little similar.
It is.
Well, I do have a pitch.
All right. That's in the mix. Mark, what's your pitch?
My pitch is a pre-existing category.
Okay.
From How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
All right.
Wigs.
Wigs.
I was thinking about that.
I think this is the most wig movie. The title is Head Wig. There's a song called...
Where do you put a wig? On your head. It's right
in a box.
There. It's all there.
Wig and there's a whole song devoted. You could almost say wig is like the iconic... symbol of the entire movie.
When you sing along.
You know
the wig
I mean?
Is like the mascot.
You see the wig
the
and you
film.
Go, oh, yeah. It's Hedwig. Yeah.
People wear Hedwig's like the foam version, which I wonder how much those are now.
Ooh.
Now? Exist. Oh, forget it. Now it's impossible.
You can't get them.
I'll make my own.
Oh, fancy. Must be nice.
So I was thinking, I can't think of like a wig. This is the most wig, except maybe Wigstock.
Wigstock might be more, but still.
But other than that, I mean.
Hedwig wears a dress made of wigs.
That's true.
So I mean, thinking wig. What do you think, Bree?
That's what I would have chosen if I was able to choose from the categories that already exist.
Gotcha.
And I think my suggestion is a little too similar to the category that you already have.
But a great suggestion.
But it is a great suggestion. And
oh,
it just goes to show that like, oh yeah, this is important.
She needs this, John.
You're right.
She needs
I'm giving her the win. You're totally winning here. We're going to rename this category, giving the finger to heteronormative.
Yeah. By Bree Ford.
Sponsored by the Bree Ford Tribute
Foundation
category.
For Gender Screwing.
We're giving the finger. I think wigs is an incredible choice.
All right. So what do you want to, what would you give Hedwig for wigs?
I think I'm going to have to give this a 100.
I think it's a hundo.
It's a hundo from me as well.
Yes.
I did it. All right. Now we're into the bonus categories.
Extra, extra.
So these categories, as their name implies, are just bonus. So if it doesn't do well in these categories, it doesn't work against the score. But as Mark likes to say, it doesn't help. But so we're going to score these from 0 to 10. So it's that percentage bonus points that it gets.
All right. The first one, this one is normally it's musical potential, but since this is a musical, we change it to how good are the songs? I mean, John, you're talking to two very biased people here.
Yeah.
I think I've laid out my credentials, and I think biased also comes into play. Okay. With me as well. But all right.
Well, I think these are probably the songs from the musical I've listened to the most.
I'm curious for Brie especially, like you said, like, oh, it's rare that like a musical will grab you. Can you think of like another musical that is sort of, even if it's not the same level, but that you've been like, oh, this one I like?
Yeah. The musical that really first grabbed me when I was younger was Evita. And
great
that
choice.
Is, you know, really? unlike, you know, Little Shop of Horrors or Hedwig, you know, movies that kind of stand out as being very different than your typical musical.
Sure.
Evita is the only one that I sort of think fits into the category of like classic musicals.
Sure. More so.
And, and I absolutely love.
So
the songs.
More that, what about Jesus Christ Superstar? Is that one that you.
I've never seen it.
Oh, I think it's.
I know a couple of the songs
people,
from it.
It's written by the same people who did Evita.
Okay.
But I think that's another musical that like people who don't like musicals, quote unquote, tend to love Jesus Christ Superstar. Jesus Christ Superstar is also one of those shows that like, people get obsessed with for a while and you kind of almost like get burned out on it, but then you come back to it and you're like, no, it's still good. I would recommend listening to Jesus Christ.
Actually, the 70s
is great.
Okay. Because the songs that I have heard from it, I'm going to say they didn't grab me.
Okay.
Okay.
But I've never seen a production of it. So
sometimes
I think that's
seeing them,
theater, like seeing them in context is so much.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Mark?
Well, you were talking about how like people get obsessed with it and then get burnt out on. I was going to say, that's how I feel about Kraft Macaroni and Cheese.
Exactly.
I'll be into it for like.
You'll have like
weeks.
A weekend where you have it like four times.
And then they're like, what am I this doing? Tastes like cardboard. What am I doing?
The thrill is gone.
I might as well just eat the box. I've never seen Evita. Are there? I always got the sense there weren't a lot of like toe tappers in that one.
Buenos Aires. That's a fun
I mean,
one.
I think I'm drawn to the more melancholy like songs too. I think that's the thing, you know? Like, I'd Be Good for You.
I'd Be Surprised. That,
I mean, mind. that was the song that really. But I mean, Don't Cry for Me, Argentina is amazing. And
but also like The Money Came Rolling In, that's a fun song.
Yeah.
Another two cases. Like Evita's got a lot of great songs in it. There is more sort of.
Sounds like there's a problem with the book, John. Is that what I'm hearing? Is there a problem with the book?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay. So like there's something you're not saying about Evita.
Maybe that's part of the appeal. Is, you know, John, you said it's more ballady. And I realized I think a lot of these sort of traditional musical style.
Uh-huh.
Songs, it's just not my cup of tea as much.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's why like a Guys and Dolls or, you know, sort of a razzmatazz, you know, that's like, just not like,
calm down. Yeah. Yeah.
Not, it's just not my world.
Fair.
Do we see a production of You're in Town together? Maybe not
with me.
Unless the drugs were really good that night.
No. It was like at a college.
I don't believe I've ever seen it.
Oh, you'd like You're in Town. I think it's funny.
Okay.
I like You're in Town. Could I tell you any of the songs from it? Absolutely not.
No.
Well, what do you want to give this, Brie, for good are the songs? Out of 0 to 10%.
I'm going to have to give this a 10 because, I mean, I have the soundtrack. When I rewatched it, the songs have been in my head all day today, and I was happy about it.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 10 as well.
John!
Mark!
I'm also going to give it a 10. How would I not give this a 10?
Could you imagine?
Can you imagine? Let's go around. What's everyone's favorite song?
Oh,
Wig in the Box was the first one that I really latched onto.
Yeah.
But I think they're all great. Like I've had like they've all been my favorites at some point, pretty much.
I go from Origin of Love, but then I also like Wicked Little Town, the Tommy Knows version.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I might have to go with Origin of Love just because it feels like it's sort of the and it sort of encapsulates the movie.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, but
we haven't even talked about this movie has animated sequences. What are you doing, you idiots?
Sure
watch this, and they're beautiful.
Great.
I mean, it has a sing-along portion with a cartoon wig jumping up and down.
Come on. Jesus Christ.
What's wrong with you people?
God, it makes me sick. All right, our next category, Queer Menace. I think Queer Menace is in this show. I think Hedwig.
Yeah, so I was curious about your guys' opinion on this, because I know that generally speaking, it's sort of like the category is like characters that are either coded as gay, because they're sort of the villain, or they're just someone that makes the conservatives in the town nervous and scared. So would you count, like, we were talking about, you know, the patrons of these, like, you know, seafood buffets
that
are sort of like, what's happening?
Yeah, yeah. I'd say that definitely is like, that's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, okay. So
when Hedwig talks about like a sideways grimace with an eyeless face, that gets a guy to stand up and go, faggot! And then a whole fight starts. You know what I mean? That's kind of the epitome, I think, in some ways of challenging heteronormativity just by your mere existence.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I think Hedwig is pretty much, I think there's a big,
I think also when you think of like the choices that Hedwig made because of this, what's his name? The general.
Luther.
Yeah. Like how,
the sugar daddy, excuse
me, like how that sort of was like, could you become a woman? Then what we can do can happen. You know what I mean? Like
Luther is a bit of a queer menace too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Very exploitive. I think Luther is bad, a bad person.
He's definitely
bad. He's selfish. That's for sure.
Selfish. Great candy, though.
Come on, sugar daddy.
So, yeah, I guess, I mean, in that sense, it's high. I just was thinking about, you know.
Right, like Elvira showing up or whatnot.
Yeah, because I was thinking there isn't any sort of, like, coding of it. It's more just on its face. But, yes. I mean, you're right, because.
I don't think it necessarily has to be coded.
Okay. That's where I wasn't sure. So then in that case, it's pretty high because, you know, all of those patrons at the restaurant, you know.
At Bill's
the guy
Waters?
Who got the car wash, although he might have been a little happy.
I think
about
he had a slight smile on his face.
Yeah.
Like,
he was okay. He ended up enjoying it.
Like, I can't wait to think about this again.
I did like that they showed like when Hedwig's like in the first like the first concert with the band with all the wives in like a like a donut shop or something. Like there were people genuinely enjoying it.
Yeah,
it wasn't all like negative. It wasn't all like they had some success.
Let's see. So and this is 0 to 10 still.
Zero to ten.
Yes. I mean, I feel like giving it a 10.
Yeah, go for it.
Then I will. 10.
Yay! You're empowered.
Yes, queen. I'll give it a 7.
7? You thought All About Eve? You gave All About Eve an 8.
Yeah, but All About Eve had Eve.
Yeah, but this is a fight where someone screams faggot and there's a fight in a bar. Eve could never. She'd crumble.
Oh, come on. You don't think Eve was at Stonewall? She was there.
She's probably with the cops. I'm giving it a 10. Give an average of 9, which is 1 point lower than the queen, but 1 point higher than All About Eve. So maybe all is right.
There we go.
Okay,
there we go.
Okay.
All right. Our next category. Character actress makes a big swing.
I think Miriam Shore as Yitzhak is a...
Yes.
You know, I would definitely say that's a big one. And
I also think Andrea Martin, because truly her character did not exist before this movie. And there's something about like everyone. I remember when the movie came out, everyone talking about Andrea Martin, which obviously they're going to do. But like she sort of like didn't need to exist. But then it's like, oh, she's one of people's.
But we're so glad she's there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want it without her.
Like not balloons. Okay.
Like, I wasn't like, sure that her
balloons.
Would...
I know you don't have to have balloons, but if they're there, it's fun.
Sure, absolutely.
She's just like balloons.
She's just, yeah, there were a lot
the
of
balloons
there,
of entertainment.
That's about there's like 6 minutes, I think, of deleted scenes on the Criterion, and
half of them are hers.
But they're just like, I have a hidden cell phone in my ear, and you have to talk into my tooth. Right. Just doing like real goofy, broad comedy. Get why they cut this? They just let her do whatever she wanted, and I'm sure it was fun while shooting. But then you get to the editing room, like they're this like, is well, a different fine. Movie. What is she doing?
Thank God there are extras. We've got this. Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for character actors makes a big swing?
Brittany? I'll give it a 9.
9.
I'll go 8.
8. I'll go 8. Have you seen Miriam Shore live, John? She's a big Broadway person.
Yeah, I saw her in Hedwig.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But our next category, macabre. How macabre is Hedwig and the Angry Inch? I think it's surprisingly really, macabre.
It's very macabre. I mean, despite all of the comedy, it has, I mean, from Hansel as a kid being, you know, molested by his dad. And, you know, then there's obviously the surgical mutilation.
Surgeries.
I mean, which wasn't even really, you know, Hedwig's choice. And then there's all the self-destructive behavior following that, you know, drunk driving with Tommy and, you know, their abusive relationship with Yitzhak. It's, there's some real darkness in
there's
this movie,
darkness.
Y'all.
Also walking barefoot down an alley.
Oh, yeah.
So macabre.
Pretty macabre. Can you imagine?
Nancy. What if there's glass?
Never.
What if there's a cold French fry? That's disgusting, too. I'd almost rather step on glass than a cold ketchup covered French fry in some way. I'd rather step on something sharp than squishy in some ways.
If you can guarantee that the sharp thing isn't going to
give me an infection or
in
something.
Skin,
then
maybe
give me MRSA.
Sure.
I guess because sharp is more like, like a sudden thing, and squishy is more like, oh God, what has happened?
It lingers.
It's like slower. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oof. Still there. You're not quite sure you'll wrap.
Yeah, yeah.
Up.
It's definitely that moment where you're not sure what it was. That half second, you're like, oh God.
Well, you own a cat. You must step in like weird stuff
all
the time.
I was going to save you guys from a story, but I was going to say I certainly have gotten up in the middle of the night and discovered like,
nasty.
There's a little puddle there. Okay.
Gross.
Oh yeah.
And now it's halfway.
I don't know if it's worse even when you're in socks, because then it's just like
I get that.
Oh. Yeah.
Because then you got to burn those socks. You can never look at these socks again.
Just
even,
straight into
the
trash.
You can look at these socks again.
No, get them out of my sight. I don't want to see them.
On socks.
Dock the socks. What do you want to
give
this
it a 10.
A 10. The most macabre movie you've ever seen.
Oh, well, okay.
No one is wearing a spider ring. Right.
Oh, John, don't even say that. Oh, I just got chills.
But what about that goth at the Menzies Fair?
We love her, them.
That goth makes me
so happy.
That's
a great profile. It's just the profile. It almost it looks like a Charles Adams drawing.
Yes.
You know, it's so good. With
the umbrella. And then the little close-up all of a sudden of the smile with the black lipstick, you know?
<It's>
so,
so
cute. Okay, so then maybe I should give it an 8.
8. Sure.
I'll go 7.
I'm going to go 8. Give an average of 7.67, which is 2 points lower than The Invitation, but 1.34 points higher than All About Eve. That makes sense. All right. The last of the bonus categories, gay actors playing gay roles. Well, okay.
Well,
I think
I mean,
do
John
it.
Cameron Mitchell.
Yep.
And Stephen Trask, even though they don't explicitly say that Stephen Trask's character is gay. I mean, in the movie, pretty much.
Sure.
I would say he reads his.
He's coded.
For sure. I don't know who else, though.
It was hard to research. So,
it's like, yeah, Michael Pitt is.
Michael
straight.
Pitt is not, yeah.
No, he's not. And then, you know, Andrea Martin. I tried to look up some of the other.
But it's just for gay roles. So, like, the fact, like, the Michael Pitt character
is
sort of like an argument as to what the character is, not argument, but you know what I mean? Like you can sort of debate about,
but he himself is like straight. I'm pretty sure
that's what I understand as well, but I'm just saying it's not like he was playing Hedwig.
Right.
You're right. Yeah. So then I guess it's really just John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask pretty much.
I think so, but it is true. Like the titular character.
Correct.
That's true.
And also it is one of those movies where it's like, it's Hedwig and there's everyone else. And there's like a slight secondary tier, but even that is like a little bit Miriam Shore, a little bit Andrea Martin, you know what I mean? Stephen Trask, even like, what is his character's name? Do we know?
Nobody knows.
It's pretty much, I mean, like it was a monologue. Like that's what the shit, that's the DNA of the show is a monologue, a one person show, basically.
That's, yeah. So 9?
I'll go 8.
Fuck it. I'm going to go 9. It's the titular character. Their name's
titular.
On the drum, on the kick drum. All right. Giving it an 8.67. All right. Now we are into the iconic category.
So these categories is the big, broad, wider umbrella categories. So we're scoring these from 0 to 225.
Okay.
All right. The first one. How would you rate Hedwig on a scale of 0 to 225 in homoeroticism?
Let's see.
I mean, we had more homoeroticism than we've had in a long time.
That's true.
In these movies.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's filled with, you know,
a little bishop in a turtleneck.
I love the little bishop in the turtleneck. Yeah, that scene with Luther, you know,
there's
the scene where, you know, where Hedwig basically jerks off Tommy in the tub.
I don't think you need to say basically. That's exactly what they do.
I was being coy.
Oh, I see. So he basically gives him a hand job. I'm being coy.
Basically. I mean, just that's the basics though.
You know, let's just say he gave them a hand job. Wink, wink. So coy. Real Jane Austen over here.
I mean, so to speak.
So to speak.
If I could lean in.
There's also the steamy makeout sessions where the world falls away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That one's pretty fun.
Yeah, leading that scene where they're, you know, Hedwig's being led through the laundry.
Yeah.
It's very, very romantic.
Very dreamy.
Yes. Okay, so 0 to 225. Let's see. I mean, there's a lot of homoeroticism in this.
Just the fact that the band is just like, I like how they make a point of their whole motel room gets smaller as the movie goes on. So eventually, like, it's all of them in a closet, like, together.
Oh, yeah.
Very, like, boys at camp kind of feel.
And you kind of figure, like, they've all kind of made out with each other at some point, dated each, you know.
I'm sure they've all, like, jerked off together somehow, at least.
Just like Fleetwood Mac, you know?
Exactly. Blown cocaine up each other's butts. It's happening.
So maybe 200?
200. Tough but fair.
I think I know what I'm about to say also sounds crazy, but I feel like this isn't like a very erotic movie to me, but all of the like the eroticism is a sort of that is in homoeroticism, closer to homoeroticism than heteroeroticism. So I will give it 190.
190. Big preamble before doing basically the same score.
You're welcome. I'll edit that out. It's fine.
No.
I liked it.
Yeah, Brie laughed. You got to leave it in now.
I got one person to laugh, then it was worth keeping it in the edit.
Just one person in the room. The Zoom is laughing. You know what? I'll give it 205. Am I crazy? Maybe. Who cares?
You sound insane.
Giving it an average of 198.33, which is about 117 points higher than the next highest, which is Back to the Beach, which only has an 81.67. Wow. Huge category for Hedwig and the Angry Inch. All right.
Eat shit, Back to the Beach.
Yes.
Nice. Thank you.
Yes. And all right. Our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Hedwig and come away with a whole book of ideas?
I mean,
how do you not?
I mean, every look that Hedwig has is iconic.
Flawless.
The looks, also just like the piece of art itself.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even Yitzhak's look would be great for a drag king to do. It would be immediately recognizable.
And it's all about like the transformative power of drag and like being whatever you want to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's no rules. And like the whole thing is about those themes.
Yeah. And, you know, basically the celebration of like becoming whatever the fuck you want to be. It's
Saran wrap corsets.
I love that look with the Tina Turner wig and the boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is 220.
220.
I hesitate
also
to give it the
say
full
220 because if they had just a costume parade at one point, maybe like a runway, but yeah, 220. I also say two.
Have you seen George Cukor's The Women, John?
That's what I was thinking of.
Okay. But I think this would be more inspiring than The Women.
Different ways.
I'll go 220. Let's keep it in the family. Give it an average of 220, which is only 5 points lower than The Queen, but that makes sense.
Sure.
All right. Our next category, Queer 101. Would you consider this like an essential queer text?
I think so.
I think you got to know about Hedwig, especially like the early 2000s, you know, just there's not a lot. Not
and also this
like
is the first thing that granted didn't go like full mainstream, but it went relatively mainstream.
They did it in Glee.
And to me, it feels like one of the first times to like sort of like grapple with gender. And yeah, it's not like you could say like, well, the character of Hedwig is not trans, you know what I mean? All this stuff, but it felt like a very early version of like, hey, there's, we can think about this differently, even though
beyond
it doesn't
the binary.
Sort of like lay it all out.
Yeah.
And so I think there's something about that that is so important about it as a title.
It's yeah, crazy. I mean, I was almost expecting things to be like, oh, this, I hope it's like aged well, but I feel like it really has. I feel like there's not a lot that's like,
yeah, I think
there's still ring
about,
true
like,
today, you know?
There's Hedwig doesn't, Hedwig feels at times like frustrated or annoyed at the choices that they have made or the things that they've done, but they never seem to feel like ashamed or embarrassed or
right.
like that it's wrong. And I think that's part of why it doesn't feel awkward to look at it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, because I mean, the character of Hedwig has, she's such a fully multidimensional character, you know, that's funny and flawed and there's tragedy and there's, you know, but it's a completely whole well-rounded character. And also, like, you know, it was so influential to me. It's kind of like what you were saying, John. At the time, it was one of the first movies that I feel like sort of introduced a mainstream audience to gender fuckery. And, you know, it definitely cemented some of my feelings, you know, where I always knew that I was bi, but then watching this movie kind of made me go like, oh, there's a whole world of all kinds of things that are
sexy, or even just like the feelings that I have are not scary. They can be fun, or like
they're not alien. Other they're people, not unusual.
You know? Yeah. And just sort of feeling like, oh, every single version of the spectrum
exists and should be celebrated.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, as we're talking about it, it does feel like the heir apparent to Rocky Horror in a way, in the way that like, yes, in the 70s, there are some people who saw Rocky Horror and was like, what? Like Tim Curry's performance, you know?
Yeah.
But it does feel like it did that for a whole new generation of people.
Yeah.
And 20 minutes shorter. So extra points for that.
We love a nice tight running time.
We love
a tight 90.
Around here?
Come on.
Get out of here. So Queer 101, Brie, what do you think?
I'd give it a 200.
200.
I'll go 210.
210. I'll go 211. Give it an average
just
of.
Wanted to show me up.
Yeah.
$1 more.
Give an average of 207. Finally, camp factor. How campy is Hedwig?
I feel like this movie is total camp. I mean, I mean, you guys would know better than I would, but I mean, it's a knowing camp. It's a very
Yes, it's intentional. It's knowing when it's.
But it's
ridiculous.
Still. Camp. I mean, there's that POV when Hedwig is flying and you see like the POV with the wig on the sides. And I mean,
that's so cute.
And I love when she wipes her face with the rag and then throws it at Tommy and it's the full makeup, you know, it's just like, there's so many amazing, ridiculous moments that are just like chef's kiss, you know? So I feel like it's really high. I mean, but I don't know. I guess I would say like, 185? Does that?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll go 190.
190. All right. I got a quick list of campy things.
Oh, I can't wait.
Noticed. Here we go. Handmade animated opening credits, performing in a theme song to an indifferent audience, getting backstory during a song, unplugging a better singer's mic during a show, a hotel room full of wigs. When it comes to huge openings, a lot of people think of me, a tabloid called Probe, sound machines, poorly animated Christian kids show, teaching sculpture to limbless children, decorating the inside of an oven, Anne Marie being Canadian, but working in the American idiom, playing the ninth stage of Menzies Fair, celebration of women in music, a cruise ship version of Rent, hanging out on a pile of tires, Zima water cooler, putting a baby down before you give someone a hand job, pondering that everyone is talking to Phil Collins people, a musician signing the plastic of a CD case and not the actual liner notes, crashing into a news van, appearing on the Rosie O'Donnell show, movies with metaphorical dream spaces. And finally, the first assistant director is called Patrick Tidy. I think it's pretty campy. I'll give it a 200. Give an average of 191.67. Ooh, that's 20 points higher than Funny Lady. Fuck yeah. Die in a creek, Funny Lady. We can get that shirt made, Die in a Creek, Funny Lady.
Sure.
All right. Finally, Brie. Finally, we're into the crown jewels.
These categories we don't rate. We're just saying yes or no. We think it gets it.
All right. The first one. A 50%. It's now 50% for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
I feel like this movie gets it.
I would give it to it as well.
Absolutely.
I feel like even though like Hedwig is going through it, there's never a sense of like their sexuality is the problem.
No, and they're like the coolest people.
There's no condemnation, you know, at all.
Yeah.
Finally, the last of the crown jewels, -50% of all the points if this is the movie Stonewall.
Well, this movie has a Berlin Wall.
It has a Berlin
Thank
Wall.
Thank you.
But parts of it were made of stone. So I don't know. Maybe it is the movie Stonewall.
But
maybe?
After serious consideration, it's not Stonewall.
You're right. It's not Stonewall. One word. You're correct. This is not the movie Stonewall. So we'll not lose 50% of its points.
Okay. Yeah. The scoring will reflect that.
Okay. Right. Good. All right. So now that we've been through it all, how are we feeling? Do we still think Hedwig is top 10, maybe top 5?
I think it's definitely in the top 10 still. I'm very confident. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it would make it into the top 5, but I would be happy and proud if it did.
What do you think, John? I think it has a really good shot of being in the top 5. I think the wheel was very much on its side.
This is true.
Well, Mark, you've got the numbers in front of you.
Exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 3,641.66, wow. Hedwig and the Angry Inch has scored 3,394.33, giving it a percentage of 93.21, making it the second gayest movie ever.
Yes.
Not as gay as Female Trouble, but gayer than The Bride of Frankenstein.
Okay.
Wow. Right. I got goosebumps.
I'm not mad about that.
We did it,
everyone.
Sorry, the apple.
The apple got knocked out of the top five.
But we love the apple.
We love the apple. Top 10. There's no shame being the top 10.
Mark, you introduced me to the apple.
I did?
That's great.
Yeah,
we watched
it together.
That sounds like us.
I was very high, and I was like, what is happening?
Everything about that sounds correct.
Yeah. This is Bree has described my ideal evening.
It was
Especially a pretty good night. I imagine.
That was a good night.
Yes.
I used to go over to Bree's, and she would like cut my hair, and then we'd go get dinner.
Oh, my God.
Maybe watch something. It's good times.
Aww. Oh, that would be great.
Simpler times.
The salad years.
They can come back.
Those were the salad years.
I'll still cut your hair.
It's pretty easy these days. There's not much to it. Try to take you 2 seconds. Wow. That was exciting.
That was good.
What happens when we all come together, John.
I'm usually not the one who's fighting and dragging their heels, Mark.
I'm not the one bringing in Funny Lady.
Yeah, but you could have more fun with it.
I tried with Funny Lady. I don't think you did. I was good for
I don't
the
think
hour.
You did, and I didn't want you to.
I was fine until
right
the
into my
gospel
trap,
number. The gospel number is when
Great
I was like,
day.
Broke me. I couldn't do it. I was like, I can't do this. Then I had an hour and 20 minutes left.
Oh. So,
anyways, I'll let it go. I'm letting it go. Clearly. Bree,
what a delight you are. Absolute treat. So sweet to have you.
Oh, stop.
Do you have like makeup notes? Like, is there something you would love to have done with Hedwig visually?
Oh, I mean, Hedwig's an icon. There's nothing I would change. It's perfect. Right. And even though you guys probably can't tell, I did wear my red glitter lipstick. It does have glitter in it.
Okay. I see the red. I don't see the glitter, but yes.
You know what? It pops.
You just have to know that it's there.
I felt glitter.
Thank you.
Well, Bree, is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Well, I'd like to plug the concept of practical effects.
Yes! Bree, tell us!
I mean, if anybody wants to follow me on Instagram, I have not been very active this year, but I have a whole bunch of really fun photos of things I've worked on that I promise are entertaining.
Awesome.
So, I can guarantee we'll put it in the show notes,
but what is your handle?
Reanimator.
Reanimator.
Yeah, R-I-E like the movie animator? Reanimator. Yeah, B-R-I-E, like the cheese, and then animator, but it's a play on...
Or like the animator.
Reanimator, yeah.
Have you seen Reanimator,
That's my nickname in the industry.
I doubt it.
You would like Reanimator. It's a good time.
All right.
Actually, I did a costume the Halloween just before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I decided to do Reanimator as a Halloween costume.
Who were you? Were you Herbert West?
Yeah, I was Herbert West. And then my fellow was I forget the character's name.
The Head in the Pan?
The Head in the Pan. Great. And it was the only time I convinced him to do a couple's costume.
But you guys do that Labyrinth party. What is it called? The Goblin Ball?
Labyrinth of Jareth.
That's it. Excuse me.
Sure.
Sorry, mine was crazy.
The Goblin Ball? How dare you? How dare you?
Wow. Mark, she is a guest.
Yeah, I'm the weird one here. Well, Brie, always a delight. That's to a chat treat. With you, and thank you for suggesting this movie, and I'm sorry it took so long to get to it, but what a...
It worth was the wait. Worth the wait.
So worth the wait. I feel chilled. I don't know. This was like, I don't know. I was having a shitty day and I feel so much better now. I don't know. I feel good now.
Yay. I'm
so,
glad to hear that.
Thank you. I credit you the both of makeup. You for that. You could send us your nice messages at Two Old Queens, CW Old Queens on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes. We also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. A percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
We also got a Patreon. We got lots of fun things on the page. We got twice the episode. You want us to go through all the Child's Play movies? It's on there.
It's on the Patreon.
All the Nightmare on Elm Street movies? You want some random whodunit movies? It's on there.
On the Patreon. Dolly Parton Films, Patreon.
Patreon, baby.
She's there.
Oh, you wrote a book, John? We should mention
that. Oh, I wrote a book, yes. I wrote a book. It's called Baked, Sex, Drugs, and Alternative Comedy. It's a memoir about my time as a drug dealer in New York City in the late, early 2000s.
All right. Everyone,
so check that out.
And stay tuned for next week for my second queen choice.
You
also,
know what it is?
Sure, I'll let you know. It's one of my favorite horror movies from the 80s.
Yeah.
Death Spa.
Very excited. Oh, I've never seen it.
I don't know this one.
It was an obscure. I'll talk about it next week. But it's a fun one. It's so goofy. Great.
Wait.
We'll see you next time, everybody.
That'll
stay
on the
safe.
Patreon.
On the Patreon.
All right.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.